Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to This Week in the Garden. I'm Peter Seabrook, here to help with some of your gardening quandaries. Today, our guest is Keely Watson of Elsom's Seeds. I'll be asking her about how she got into horticultural work, where her specialism is, and where her work has taken her. I'll also find out what Elsom's offers to us gardeners. As usual, I've also got some news and tips for you. My thanks to Westland Horticulture, sponsors of this podcast. Wonderful weather for late October. I know I keep on about it, but the autumn raspberries, I'm still picking two small punnets every week. And at supermarket prices, that's £5 for the two. You know, people say, does it pay to grow your own? Certainly pays to grow your own raspberries. But the forecast is pretty cold for the next day or two, so get those tender plants under cover. The best bet, really, if you don't have space in a greenhouse or cold frame or something, is to bring them really close to the house. If they're against a house wall, then most of the tender things will survive several degrees of frost. The wall just reflects that warmth through the night. We've got Margaret Thrower, Percy Thrower's daughter, speaking at our local horticultural society this evening on three generations of gardeners. I look forward to that. Her grandfather, Tom Cook, was a head gardener at Sandringham. I met him. He was a fearsome fellow with waxed moustache. It'll be interesting to hear what Margaret has to say about him. One sad report, and that's the death of Mark Mattock, one of the three great Mattock Rosarians. And Mark's funeral will be at Dorchester-on-Thames Abbey at 2 p.m. on the 1st of November. My thought for today is a quote by Luther Burbank. He was an American botanist, a horticulturist and pioneer in all kinds of horticultural sciences. And he developed over 800 strains and cultivars over his 55-year career, including the spineless cactus, plum cot, and many plums, some of which are still grown today. And Luther said, "Flowers always make people better, happier, and more helpful. They are sunshine, food, and medicine to the mind." I couldn't agree more. Just looking at a flower gives you a lift in life, and if you cut a bunch and give it to somebody else, then it makes them feel better, I'm sure. Last week I had a fascinating day in Lincolnshire, visiting the autumn vegetable and salad trials staged by a number of the leading seed companies. There's a lot going on, and we'll hear more later. There are also some pictures, too, coming up in the paper on Saturday of some of the fantastic new veg that we'll be able to grow in the next year or two. Exciting news, too, on the giants. The patent brothers, Ian and Stuart, down in Hampshire, you know, absolute nutters when it comes to growing giant pumpkins. And this year, they've broken the UK record again for the largest pumpkin. It's the third heaviest ever grown anywhere in the world, and it weighs in at 2,433.9 pounds. How about that? One pumpkin that weighs over a ton, I mean, to put it in some sort of perspective, you would need 10 people weighing 17 stone to match the weight of that pumpkin. I mean, it was enormous. Wasn't just the Peyton brothers either. Matthew Oliver, you know, he's the great veg fellow at the Royal Horticultural Society Gardens at Hyde Hall in Essex. He achieved a new UK record for the heaviest squash at 1,085 pounds. He beat the 12-year-old record by some 95 pounds. I mean, how about that? I mean, if there is a record, beating it even by a pound or two is quite tough, but he smashed it by 95 pounds. I see a report too from the Community Plant Variety Office. That's the European organisation that does plant variety rights when we have new kinds of flowers, fruits or vegetables. By the end of last month, they'd registered over 2,252 new plant applications. That's 5.8% up. 440 new vegetables registered and 186 fruits. That's 25% up on last year. The number of ornamentals registered went down a little bit, down by 2.8%, but there were still 900 new plants. That should be enough for most of us. Actually, the EU Court of Justice has ruled recently that plants obtained by a mutagenesis, that sort of gene tracking, are genetically modified. And it means that plant breeding techniques will now fall under GM rules. I just don't understand these people. The EU Breeders Organisation have raised concern that there's now obvious risk that the EU horticulture and agricultural industry will be unable to access tremendous benefits these new scientific developments offer. I don't know. I just don't understand it. If just by a little careful readjusting of genes within a plant, we can get rid of diseases like club root and white rot in onions, I just don't understand the politicians. My guest today is a really exciting and enthusiastic young lady as far as parsnips are concerned. That may seem a strange combination, but I met her just last week at the Elsom Trials, and I was so impressed. Keely, how are things up in Lincolnshire today?
A bit wet and windy, but we're working away, so yeah, things are good.
Keely, how did you first get involved in horticulture?
I studied plant biology at university, and I wanted to go into the sort of commercial side, but stay in touch with the industry. So I applied to Elsom's over 10 years ago now for a job, and I've been here ever since.
The result is history.
Yeah, that's what they say.
Yeah.
My role's changed over the years. I've worked with the trials, organising the open days like you were there last week, and I'm now working as a crop manager in the vegetable sales department.
Well, let's just explain a bit about Elsom's, because next year you have a rather special celebration, don't you?
Yes, 175 years Elsom's has been in existence.
175 years in the seed business is fantastic, isn't it? It's just wholesale trading, isn't it? You don't trade with the public at all?
No, we sell to growers, so farmers, growers who would sell on.
And to the retail mail order companies?
Yes, we'd sell wholesale on to them who repack it of the material we supply them.
Yeah, and so you'll be now breeding new varieties of vegetables and salads.
Yes.
And also in seed production, you actually grow your own seeds?
Yes, we do. We have some sites in the UK, but we also look to where those productions would be best in the world. And we'd produce seed where we need to get a good quality crop.
And then tell me a bit more about parsnips. I mean, do you really like parsnips?
I do. I genuinely do, and it doesn't need to be covered, roasted and covered in honey. I enjoy a lot of cooking anyway, so it's quite nice to visit a trial and then maybe sample the wares for dinner that evening.
Well, I mean, I would roast them with the joint on Sunday, I suppose, would be the main way that we would eat them at home. Can you tell me a little bit then about parsnips? I mean, when I was with you and your colleagues last week, you gave me a lot of information about the disease canker, for example.
There's different diseases that different causes for the disease that we know as canker. There's fusarium, foma. There's different things that cause what we would think as a rot on the root. So it depends on the colour and how bad that disease is. Our breeding department does a lot of work into the different causes, so we know when we're breeding for new material what those causes are and how resistant our varieties are to those different diseases.
And so you will have cultivars now of parsnip which are resistant to these diseases?
More resistant than maybe some of the older traditional material.
So, I mean, if we were looking through the seed catalogues in the next few weeks or months, placing our order for next year, what would we be looking for? What cultivars would you suggest?
Personally, I'd recommend Panorama as a sort of a variety. It's got good general disease resistance as well. And every generation or every time we bring new material out, we're always looking to make sure that it's more resistant than what's currently out there, our current material. So the Panorama is quite a new variety. So we've made sure that it's as disease resistant as possible, but also produces a nice root for people to be able to grow.
Keely, you mentioned the problem with germinating parsnips. I mean, it was particularly tricky this year with wet and cold, but most of the seed you supply, especially to commercial growers, is primed, isn't it? Can you tell us a bit about that?
Priming sounds a comparatively simple process. It involves adding enough water into the seed to get it to the stage just before germination, and then we dry it back again. So when you put it in the field, it's primed and raring to go. So the emergence should be quicker and more uniform, so you get a more even crop. So commercially, that's why we do it. So the farmer has a very uniform crop and they know the size of the roots that they're going to get.
Yeah. Well, Mr. Fothergill last spring offered some prime seed. I sowed prime parsnip and had pretty good stand, whereas most people sowed twice and still didn't get a crop. So the prime seed is quite important, isn't it?
Yes, it doesn't increase the germination of the crop. It won't resurrect a dead seed, but it will make things more even and quicker. So if the conditions are bad, you have quick emergence of the seedlings.
And in practice, I found that when I grew primed carrots alongside unprimed seed, not only did they come up quicker, but the yield was heavier. In the end, I didn't quite understand that. Is it just that the plant is more vigorous from the word go?
I'm not 100% sure about the yield results. We see a greater uniformity.
Yeah, and commercial growers would want that, of course. Every parsnip pretty well the same size and shape.
You want something, but this is sort of the average size if you'd see packed in the supermarket. That's the sort of ideal size for them.
Now, where does this parsnip crop take you? Because I understand you were abroad with parsnips recently.
Yes, Elsham's do a lot of, as we've discussed, do a lot of breeding in parsnip, and we're working on new material. So we currently are working on the next generation of varieties, and we choose to trial these in countries where it's interesting for us to see, and the sort of local growers to see these varieties. So I was in Romania last week looking at this new material.
Your job has some fair bit of travel connected to it.
Yes, at certain times of the year. So this time of the year is very busy because everything, well, in Europe and the Northern Hemisphere is ready. So I'm travelling a lot to see the new material, see whether it's as good as we think it is, because different countries have different growing conditions, therefore you can get different results with the same variety.
And how did you find Romania then? I've never been. Is there horticulture to a high standard?
They grow different crops to what we're used to, or some different crops, and they have slightly different growing methods to maybe standard UK commercial practice. But it was a good trial. It showed us some good results, so that's what I need. They've had a challenging summer, I think, like a lot of Europe and the UK this year. So it shows how well varieties perform.
Well, yes. You know, I think there was one or two headlines in the paper in the last day or so about vegetables being short into the new year. But, I mean, your trials were fantastic. If people are interested, there's a picture of the Brussels sprout Doric in your trial. And, I mean, it's already up to my armpits and growing like steam. I mean, it's going to get taller yet. There didn't look to be any problem with the quality of your trial vegetables.
Our trials team will be overjoyed for you to say that. We have a comparatively small area, and we do have irrigation, so we were able to water the crops as much as we could when it was needed.
And do you mind if, Kitty, do you mind if we chat a bit about some of those? Because the picture in the paper on Saturday includes three of your guests on the trials munching into a slice of that new kohlrabi Cossack. I can't get over that you could grow a root sown in June that by September weighed a stone 14 pounds. I mean, that's a phenomenal rate of growth, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a very good variety, and despite what maybe some people looking at it would see, it's not gone woody. It is sweet. And it is still flavoured, whereas sometimes you think when things get big, they're not edible. This variety was developed so it would be edible when it was big. And I mean, I like it dips, snacks, you know, something maybe as an alternative to carrot sticks. That's where I like to see it. But
well, I've carried half of one in to the office today, so my producer Rich will be forced to taste this, although quite honestly I took it to my Horticultural Society committee meeting last week, passed it round, and a number of other visitors have also been encouraged to bite into this slice of Cossack, and I haven't had anybody say they disliked it. You know, I mean, it's so crunchy, isn't it?
Good. No, yes. It's a very good variety. It can get very big, but it looks good, and it tastes amazing.
Yeah,
personally, that's my personal opinion anyway.
Well, I would back that up entirely. But then we should talk a bit about sprouts, because they're a major crop of yours, aren't they?
Yes, it's another Elsom's breeding program. We work with a Dutch company for sprouts as well, so we share the work. We both help each other a lot. That's one of our sort of joint programs.
I mean, I meet in the gardening world people who are still growing the old open-seeded varieties and complaining that they're all loose and they don't have any buttons. I mean, when I look at that variety Doric of yours, I mean, you've got at least 100 sprouts up the stem, and they're all, you know, round like bullets, absolutely perfectly formed.
Yeah, and they're an ideal Christmas sprout. So you've seen them when they're maybe slightly under mature, sort of middle of October. You've seen them maybe when they're slightly under mature, but you know, in a month, 2 months' time, they're ideal for Christmas. I mean, again, I will admit to them being a personal favourite and growing them in the garden at home.
And so which one would you grow?
I'd grow Doric. It's quite tall. So again, if you struggle to get a tall sprout and you struggle for vigour and to get a nice height on a sprout variety, then this one would probably help you along as well. I always look at the sort of the more vigorous types for the garden as well.
Yes, because if our soil is not as good or as rich as certainly you've got up in Lincolnshire, then if you choose a variety which has a bit more vigour, then it's likely to perform better, isn't it, in our poorer soils. And
you won't struggle as much to get the size and the height that you want.
Yeah, so we've got Panorama in Parsnip and we've got Doric in the Brussels sprout. But, I mean, then you're into lettuce and cabbage and carrots. I mean, that trial of lettuce was fantastic. Every single lettuce, it was perfect. In my photograph, I got one missing. Did some of your staff nip and cut one for lunch or something?
No, I think we did have a cooking demonstration in the marquee, so I think we might have needed some we might have needed some samples for that. No, we don't take any, certainly not before the open days. You know, we want them to look good and taste good during the open days, and then maybe a few samples are taken afterwards. I wouldn't want to comment
because coming into the future. You're also doing valuable work with purple sprouting.
Yes, Elsom's have been working for several years, 10 at least years, on purple sprouting. And we're getting some new types coming through the breeding programme now that will work through the summer period. Unfortunately, we're a few years away from having seed for the gardening market because it's very limited this year. But we've got material that we're hoping will come through and produce good purple sprouting through the summer period, which I think has always been a problem for growers and gardeners.
Well, and you can grow two crops in a spring and summer season. I mean, that's what seems amazing to me, that you can double the output in a given time and get a better quality purple sprouting broccoli in the process.
Yeah, it's definitely a watch this space. As long as you keep your rotation going, sort of maintain a good rotation so you don't get the disease problems. But I see the sort of the quick maturing crops as well. If you've got limited on space in a garden or in a small area and you can get a lot out of that space, you want that to work for you, don't you?
Yeah, you do, particularly in a very small modern garden. But the chances are that listeners may see this new purple sprouting of yours in the supermarkets ahead of seed being available to gardeners. Is that right?
Yes, that's right. Because it's such a new product, we've worked with one or two growers in the UK to introduce it. And it takes several years to build up good seed stocks. So we've run comparatively small trials. And the supermarkets will see how they like this product. And then hopefully, well, we think they will like it. And then we, as soon as we can, we'll introduce seed to be available in packets.
I mean, I enjoyed eating it raw. So it must be beautiful, just lightly steamed or stir-fried. I mean,
yeah.
It's a beautiful veg, yeah. Keely, love to come back to you.
Always welcome.
Particularly when we get a few more gardeners growing Cossack and having a go with your Panorama and Doric sprout. Yeah. Thanks for today.
Thank you.
When it comes to gardening advice, I'm always on the lookout for sensible tips. And the horticultural technician at Rittle University College is using a gorse fortress to prevent mice eating his sown sweet peas. He cuts straight young branches of gorse and places them in a row all the way round his pots of sown sweet peas on greenhouse staging. Tim picked up this tip on a train journey from York, and we do need to be aware, you know, mice and rats do come in out of the wet and cold at this time of the year, and if mice get into a batch of sweet peas, they cause havoc. You know, they just go down the pots, just pulling up the plants and eating the little seeds. And also you need to keep an eye on any stored apples, fruits or roots in sheds and outbuildings, because they can be a real attraction to rodents. And I'm afraid you'll need to do something to keep them under control. Thanks again to our sponsor, Westland Horticulture. And of course, my producer, Rich Jarman. And thanks to you for listening. We'll be back next Thursday. Enjoy your gardening.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com. Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.